We'd like to welcome everyone here this morning as we start the student competition papers after the break. My name is Terry Pitts. I'm from Oklahoma State University, and our co-host is John Reeves from Kansas State University. John will be timing your session, and whenever you reach your last 2 minutes, he'll stand up and give you a signal of 2 minutes. Whenever the signal on the alarm goes off, well, it's time to quit. And you'll have 2 minutes after that for questions and answers. We'd like for you to repeat the question. These sessions are being recorded. And from that standpoint, if you have questions and you repeat them, they'll go through the microphone and be picked up on the recording session. In addition, we'd like for you to speak directly into the microphone. I noticed in the first session, John, we had a few people, the microphone was here and they were there, so I moved it down. But if you're taller than me, which most people are, go ahead and move the microphone if you would. With that, we'll go ahead and do the first introduction for the first paper, and it's Population Dynamics of Stink Bugs in Transgenic Dual Toxin BT Cotton by Richard B. Reeves.
Thank you, and good morning. The overall goal of my thesis is actually understanding the densities and dispersions of stink bugs in cotton as part of a variable agroecosystem. Today I'm presenting just a small portion of those results, and this is going to focus on the spatial and temporal results that I've discovered so far. I always like to show this slide. Why is this research important? Well, this is stink bugs damage to a cotton boll. There's internal staining of the lint, and also there can be introduction of pathogens, fungal pathogens, that render the boll and cotton unmarketable. So since the introduction of dual gene cotton, stink bugs have become an important economic pest of cotton growing in South Carolina. Because the cotton has the genes in it that control lepidopterous pests, growers no longer spray these broad spectrum insecticides that provide a coincidental control over stink bugs. And I'd like to point out on the graph a decreasing trend in bollworm losses in South Carolina, and then an increasing trend in stink bug losses since the introduction of BT cotton, except until we get to the most recent time where we see that they've actually flip-flopped again, where stink bugs become less important, and then bollworm increases in importance. And that's going to play a role when I discuss my results later. And there's also not been a lot of previous research done in understanding these spatial temporal variations in stink bug populations and what kind of role that wild hosts and other cultivated crops may have on the numbers that we see in cotton. And then the three kind of important players are the brown stink bug, the southern green stink bug, and the green stink bug. So a couple of research questions that I'm trying to solve or answer. Are there spatial temporal variations within fields, within total bug numbers, adult numbers, nymphs, and also boll injury? And like I said, are there differences in distributions of adults and nymphs within fields? So this is a field, one of the fields I sampled in 2007. This field is surrounded by a wide variety of different crops such as peanut, corn, soybean, more cotton, and sunflower. And all these are also hosts of stink bugs, which can move into the cotton field and feed on the bolls. So how I actually sampled for the stink bugs, I used three different sampling methods, two direct sampling methods using a drop cloth and a sweep net, then an indirect sampling method of internal boll injury, where you excise the boll from the plant, open up, and then look for stained lint and then other indications that has been fed upon by hemipterous pests. And in each field, I separated into 1-acre grids with a sampling site in the center of each acre. So what I've prepared with these slides is just a progression of the spatial and temporal variation that we see with stink bugs in cotton fields throughout the growing season. The legend on the sign starts at 0, goes all the way up to 20, which was the maximum that was seen at one sampling site on one particular sampling date. Here at the beginning of the season, when I began sampling, we see just a couple of hits here, which are adults. Next week progresses, we see a few more adults. Then again, it shifts. All right, then once the nymphs appear, we see that here we see the highest total number for the entire season for any sampling site here at this location. First and second instar stink bug nymphs tend to aggregate close to the egg mass, and then third, fourth, and fifth instars then tend to disperse away from their original oviposition location. Here again, see another couple of hot spots on this date. Then more, those numbers decrease, but then it tends to, we see higher numbers and over more portions of the field. And then here on the last sampling date, numbers are still decreasing, but there's still quite a wide range of sites within the field where stink bugs are present. So what I'd like to present today is some of the spatial temporal analysis that I've done so far. These are the seven fields that I sampled in. The three top fields were fields that I sampled in 2007. The bottom four fields are fields that I sampled in 2008. They range in size from 11 acres to 28 acres. And what I did is I classified the sampling sites, with the blue being internal sampling areas, and then the red being external. And then I wanted to see if there was any differences between external sites versus internal sites. So from my results, running a mixed procedure in SAS, for mean bowl injury, we've seen significant effects for both the month, space, and also month and space, spatial temporal interaction over time. For the mean adults and nymphs, there's no significant effects for month, space, or interaction in between those two. Like I mentioned, or on the previous graph, the last 2 years have not been all that great to do stink bug research in South Carolina. There's been very low population numbers overall. Whether that's due to abiotic factors, I can only make an educated guess. Unfortunately, I have a lot of zeros in my data that I have to analyze, which it's been tough to kind of glean any sort of information from all those zeros. But we do see for mean total bugs that there was significant effects for space and spatiotemporal interaction, but not over the months. Some future analyses that I like to perform is, are there differences? Do we see spatial and temporal differentiations between species? And then also, instead of just looking at external versus internal sampling sites, is there site-specific variation over time? Can we look at a single acre and then compare that to the acre surrounding it as far as the bug numbers that we see? Increase the temporal divisions from monthly to weekly. And then also, what influence do we see from other surrounding crops? I'd like to thank my committee members and my co-authors, Dr. Jeremy Green is my major advisor. Then I'm also collaborating with other members on my committee, Dr. Ray Jones and Dr. Mike Taves, who are also using the same kind of methods and materials up in Florence, South Carolina, and also down in Tifton, Georgia. And especially I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated, South Carolina Cotton Board, and South Carolina Cotton Producers for funding for my research. And I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Did you see any difference, any correlation between the red outbreaks and bowl position on the plants and timing, you know?
I'm not sure I understand.
Was there a correlation between the time that you had high populations in a certain area and the damage that you saw?
Oh, and is there a correlation, have I seen correlations between the amount of bowl injury and bug numbers themselves? The preliminary stats that I've run on that, like I said, because there are so many zeros, I'll get zeros as far as bug numbers, but then I'll see, but there will be damage. So there is, at this time, I haven't seen a clear correlation between those two numbers. Yes, sir.
Since you have low populations, did you try any log transportations of your data?
None at this time, but again, that's I didn't mention, but that is hopefully going to be something that I can use to get something substantial for my results. Yes. On my study, did I find lepidoptera damage? From the bulls that we collected at each sampling site each week, no, we didn't account for it in the data sheets as far as recording that. But from my own personal observations, no, there was not much lepidopterous damage to the bulls. Thank you.